We're continuing the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Chosh and Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchas Orev, Halacha Dalid, Paragraph Zayin. We were speaking earlier about Arvus, about guarantors, and we mentioned that the main guarantors for Klal Yisrael are the great tzaddikim. They're our guarantors, especially, specifically, Moshiach, Moshiach ben David, who's the climax, in a sense, of all the tzaddikim. And a composite of all the tzaddikim. And Rav Nosson Zal made reference to Dovra Melech, Yehuda, even Shevet Yehuda, from whom Moshiach originates. And we spoke a little bit in the previous year about Yehuda and Tamar. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to address the fact that when Yehuda engaged Tamar in relations, she requested, he offered payment, but he didn't have payment with him. So she said, give me collateral. And the collateral was three items: his chosam, his seal, psilecha, a garment, or a string, threads, umatcha, and your stick. Rav Nosson Zal now is going to explain why she asked specifically for those three things, and how those three things are tied into the chapter in Likutei Moran, chapter 32 in the second half of Likutei Moran, that this halacha is based on, and tied into our whole topic. Paragraph Zayin. V'yesh lefarish, we can explain she'shloisha dvorim elu, that these three things which Tamar requested from Yehuda, shehem, which are chaysamcha, your seal, upsilecha, and your threads, umatcha, and your stick, heim keneged sholosh bechinois sheyesh bekol sefer kodosh. These three things correspond to the three components that go into every sefer, every book that's written. Because Rabbeinu Zal had mentioned in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal there was discussing the different books, the Sforim of Tzadikim versus Lahavdil, the Sforim of Apikursim, books of philosophy that turn people away from religion, away from Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal spoke about the fact that sometimes religious books have to be concealed or destroyed, Chas V'Shalom sometimes, in order that philosophy books should not be able to harm the world, and especially the Jewish people. And there in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal explains it and expounds on it. But for now, Rav Nosson Zal wants to draw the parallel between the three things which Tamar requested from Yehuda and the three components in a sefer. Ki kol sefer hanichtov nigmar al yidei shloisha dvorim. Every book that's written is completed through three things. Shehem, which are haklaf, the parchment, v'hadyoi, the ink, v'hakulmus, and the pen. V'heim b'chinas shloisha dvorim hanal, and they correspond to the three things that Tamar requested from Yehuda. Ki choysamcha ufsilecha, your seal and your threads, heim b'chinas hadyoi v'haklaf. They correspond to the ink and the parchment. Ki psilecha, because your threads, your garment, shehu talischa, which is your talis, kemo shapirish Rashi, as Rashi HaKodesh points out over there, shehu bechinas tzitzis, which is the tzitzis, ze bechinas yirios haklaf shel sefer, that corresponds to the parchment that's used in writing a book. Bibchinas, as the pasuk says, Oite oyer kasalmo, noite shamayim kairia. Hashem spreads out the light like a garment, like a sheet in a sense, and Hashem spreads out the heavens like a curtain. So we see that the simla, the salmo, and the yiria, the curtain, the garment, are one of the ways in which Hashem displays his light. The light of Hashem is compared to these garments, curtains. Ki tzitzis kolul mikol ha-Torah kula. canal, because as we learned earlier, tzitzis represents the entire Torah. That the pasuk says you will look at them and you'll remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem. And we know that the tzitzis, the word tzitzis, is bigimatria, the 613, with the eight strings and the five double knots. Kihem bechinas chaluka derabonon, because tzitzis is referred to as the garment of rabbis, a holy garment. Bechinas yirios haklaf, just like the parchment on which a Sefer Torah is written on, shehu bechinas malbush, which is also the garment of the animal from which we made that parchment. Bechinas oir ubosor talbisheni, as the pasuk says, with skin and flesh you clothe me, you cover me. So we see that the hide on which a Sefer Torah is written, or a Sefer is written, that hide, that parchment, is referred to as a garment, in a sense. Ki klolius kol ha-toiro batzitzis, hu adayin bebechinas koyach, kemoi ha-klaf sheboin itztayrin kol oisius ha-toiro. Because when we talk about the entire Torah being represented by tzitzis, that's in theory, it's bekoyach. It's not that you see the words of the whole Torah in the tzitzis. In theory, the tzitzis is symbolic. It represents the entire Torah. Just like the parchment on which a sefer is going to be written, the parchment, before it has the ink on it and everything, represents the document. That's the document. It's on the parchment that the ink is going to form the words of the Torah, etc. Ki klolius kol haTorah betzitzis u'adayin bebchinas koyach, we say, because the entire Torah, as it's found in the mitzvah of tzitzis, is still theoretic, in a sense, just like the parchment upon which is going to be configured all the letters of the Torah. Aval haklaf bi'atzmoi ein boi shum tziur. However, the parchment itself has no writing in it or anything. The ink, when we take ink and we place the ink on the parchment, the ink is going to be formatted, shaped into letters. The parchment is just a vessel. It's a levush. It's a garment on which those letters are going to be placed, into which those letters are going to be placed. Rakhu kli litzayer boi kol oisius haTorah. So therefore, the parchment or the paper is like a vessel, a levush, a garment, on which the letters of the Torah are going to be placed. Kein tzitzis, so too the mitzvah tzitzis, hu mitzvah she'ein begufa kedusha, is a mitzvah where the garment itself, the tzitzis itself, has no intrinsic holiness. You can wear tzitzis into the bathroom, you can wear tzitzis, you know, so tzitzis is not, it's not itself intrinsically holy like tefillin or other things are. Rakol ha-mitzvois nitztayru bo. And yet, the tzitzis, the talis, is referred to in Kabbalistic terms, in spiritual terms, as a garment in which all the mitzvahs are found. Ki kol ha-mitzvois shoisin nitztayrin bahalavushin kiyadua. Because all the mitzvahs that are performed are formatted in garments. That's the terminology that's used in Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Hasidus, that you have, just like you have liquid, you have a drink, orange juice, apple juice, wine, everything, and those things are placed into bottles or cups or vats, whatever it is. It's never a standalone thing on its own. It must be contained in some kind of a container. So too, the mitzvahs are light. A mitzvah is a form of light, a form of spirituality that also is contained within garments. And one of the garments that contains all the mitzvahs, symbolically, is the tzitzis, the talis. Kumeshekosuv b'Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, as we find in the prophet Zechariah, chapter 3, where it speaks about Yehoshua, the Kohen Gadol, where the Navi says there, Hosiru habegodim hatsoyim eolov, remove from him all of the filthy garments, v'halbei shoyscha machlotzois, and dress yourself in clean, in fresh, clean garments. And that was referring to stepping away from sins, stopping to commit sins and do bad things, and to start doing mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. The terminology that's used is getting rid of the dirty clothing and replacing it with clean garments. And that's why the Torah writes about tzitzis, you will see them and you'll remember all the mitzvahs of the Torah. And it goes on to say, Laman tizgeru, so that you will remember va'asisem es kol mitzvos Hashem, and you will actually perform all the mitzvahs of Hashem. Ki hein bechinas haklaf, because the tzitzis, the talis, are like the parchment of a Sefer Torah, shenasem mihem sefer, from which a book is made. A book is made from parchment, but the parchment itself is not the book. The parchment is nothing. It has nothing on it. It has no writing on it yet when we first start off. Shehu bechinas zikoroin. And we know that the whole concept of parchment and writing a book is in order to enable us to remember. When you want to remember something, 1 minute, let me write it down so I won't forget. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, ksoiv zois zikoroin basefer. Write this down in a book, so that you'll remember it. So Rav Nosson Zal drew the parallels between the psilcha, the garment, the talis of Yehuda, which Tamar requested. And Rav Nosson Zal said the garment is like the paper or the parchment on which a sefer is going to be written. Next. Chaysamcha, your seal. She asked, Tamar asked you to give me your seal. They call it a signet ring, I believe. Ze bechinas tefillin shchoyrois. This represents the tefillin, which are black. Bechinas shachrus hadyoi shel ha-sefer, which corresponds to the black ink with which a sefer is written. Shehu bechinas choysom. That's the seal. Ki hadyoi Metzayer v'choisem al haklaf es oisius hatoyro, because the ink shapes and forms and seals into the parchment the letters of the Torah. V'alkein bitfilin ksuvim kama parshias hatoyro, and it's for this reason that inside our tefillin are found several parshias chapters of the Torah. The Shema, the Vahoyom Shamoya, the Kadesh. Ki al yedei hadyoi hu tziur shel oisius hatoyra. Because the ink is what actually shapes and forms the letters of the Torah. Shehem bechinas choysam, which are the seal. That's the seal of Hashem. We know that the Gemara says that the seal of Hashem is truth. What is truth? The Torah, the letters of the Torah, the mitzvahs of the Torah. Mishpate Hashem emes. That's the truth. So the ink is the choy, corresponds to the choysam. That's the seal of Hashem, the insignia of Hashem, the stamp of Hashem. Umatcho, and your stick. When Tamar said to you to give me your stick, ze hakulmus. That's the pen with which we write with ink onto the parchment. Shehu hametzayer oisiois al yedei adyoi al haklaf. The pen is what actually shapes and forms the letters using the ink onto the parchment. Veze bechinas haloshoin, and that corresponds to the tongue, shehu kulmus halev, which is the pen of a person's heart. Bechinas, as it says in Tehillim, leshoini eit sofer mohir, my tongue is the pen of a scribe that writes quickly. Ukisheodo mislabesh betalis utfilin, when a Jew dresses himself in talis and tfilin, humamshich alatzmoi kedushas haklaf vahadyoi shel ha-sefer Torah. He is wrapping himself in the parchment and ink of the Sefer Torah. The talis is the parchment, the tfilin is the ink. And then when the person, while wearing talis and tefillin, he goes ahead and davens, he speaks the words of tefillah, Umoidia umegale elikusai bepivu l'shoinoi, and he expresses his faith in Hashem, his recognition of Hashem, with his mouth, with his tongue, oz humitzayer v'choikek oisio satoira bidyoi alaklaf. That's when he's actually shaping and forming the letters of the Torah with ink onto the parchment. That's when he's taking the talis and the tefillin and his mouth and putting them all together, and they're like the three components of writing a book. We know, again, there's audio, there's speech, and there's video, there's the pictures, and then there's the written word. Rav Nosson Zal's showing us the correspondence, that just like in the written word, there are these three components. There's the parchment, the paper, the ink, and the pen, which does the activity. So too, in an audio presentation, especially when we're talking about tefillah, speaking to Hashem is like writing a Sefer Torah. And the three components are the talis and the tefillin and the tongue. Ve'oz daiko nigmar v'nishlam ha'kedusha. And when those three get together, then the holiness is complete. Dahainu b'chinas k'siva Sefer Torah. That's when we're actually writing a Sefer Torah, shekolol mehakoil, which is a composite of everything in Yiddishkeit, everything in Judaism. Ki ikra ha-Sefer Torah, v'chein kol ha-sforim ha-kdoshim ha-nemshochem isham, because what a Sefer Torah and all Hebrew books which come from the Torah are all about, what it's really all about is broadcasting the name of Hashem and the word of Hashem to the entire world. And that's why a book or a Torah is called a Sefer, Loshen Sipur, because what does it do? It tells. What does it tell? A holy book, a Sefer Torah, tells about Hashem. It tells you everything you ever wanted to know about Hashem. Everything you need to know about Hashem is in the Torah, in the holy books. Bechinas, as Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, and as Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed to Paro regarding the miracles, the plagues, Ulaman Saper Shmi Bechol Oretz, that you want to know what this is really all about? It's in order to tell the world about my name, that my name, Hashem's name, should achieve recognition throughout the entire world. That's what it's really all about. V'zeh ikar mitzvas kriya shma utfilo betalis utfilin. And Rav Nosson Zal says, this is really what's behind the mitzvah of reciting the Shema and our prayers in talis and tefillin, meaning for shachris, which is the main tefillah. Kedei sheyushlam al yidei zeh b'china sefer anal. Because through this, we're completing the sefer shekolul misholosh b'chinos, which is comprised of three components. Kedei legaloi sulefarse melekusoi lechol boi oilam. In order to reveal and publicize recognition of Hashem to the entire world. She'ikar ha'hizgalus al yidei hadibur. And we know the main way that a human being broadcasts is through speech. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Tehilas Hashem yedaber pi. The praise of Hashem, my mouth will speak. Bechinas, and as Dovid HaMelech says in Tehillim, Oidia emunoscha befi. I show you, I display my faith in you with my mouth. V'alkein ho'ikar hu'adibur shel kriyashma utfila v'talas utfilin. And therefore, one of the main events in the day of a Jew is when these three get together, the talis and the tefillin, and the person is saying the shma and the tefillah. Heim bebechinas kelim, because they represent the vessels, she'al yodom nitztayer v'nechtam v'nechka kadibur, through which the words of prayer are shaped and formed bebechinas sefer, into a book, into a Sefer Torah. Kidei sheyeh kiyum lahadibur, so that the words should be permanently, indelibly inscribed. We know a person says something and it's gone in 3 seconds. When we say the Shema and Tefillah every day, we don't want that to be gone in 3 seconds. We want to leave an indelible impression in the world. The way we do that, how do you leave an indelible? You got to write a book. You got to put it in writing, right? Put it in writing, it's permanent. That's why we're wearing the talis and tefillin when we're reciting the Kriya Shema. That's putting it in writing. That combination of the talis and the tefillin in our mouth, we're writing a sefer. Al yidei b'chinas sefer, shu nichtav lezikoroin ledoirois, lechol boi oilam. This is the concept of a book which is written as a remembrance for generations, for all the entire world. Leman yedu kulo meito yisporach, so that all of them should become aware of Hashem. B'chinas, as we say in Ashrei, lohoidia livnei ha'odom givuroisov, to inform all of mankind about the power of Hashem. V'chein muvon bekavonos, in parentheses here, Rav Nosson Zal adds, and so too, you will find in the writings of the Arizal, she'ikar hisgalus hamoichin v'hadas hu al yidei hadibur shel atfilah, that the main revelation of the seichel, das, knowledge, recognition of Hashem is through our words of prayer. When a Jew gets up in the morning to pray, Shachris and Kriya Shema and Shmon Esrei in Talis and Tefillin, that's the main time when the new Seichel, the new Das that Hashem gives a person every single day, that's when that Das is being expressed, is being broadcasted. V'sholosh b'chino yiseilu sheklulim b'chol sefer, and these three components that are included in every book, heim shloisha sforim, Haniskorim b'sefer Yetzira. These are also the three conjugations of the word sefer that are mentioned in the Sefer Yetzira, which was written by Avram Avinu, one of the first Kabbalistic writings that we have, the Sefer Yetzira, which is found in Tikkun Leil Shavuos. Those who recite Tikkun Leil Shavuos, at the end, after you have the Chumash and the Navi and the Gemara and the Zohar HaKadosh, they give you also a presentation of the Sefer Yetzirah. It's just a few pages that have some of the deepest secrets about Hashem in them. This was written by Avraham Avinu, and the Zohar HaKadosh and other Sifrei Kabbalah expound on it. Shebohem Nivro Ho'olam U'Maloyoy. And it's with these three components that the world and everything in it were created. K'may shekosov sham b'mishna aleph, as we find in paragraph 1 of the Sefer Yetzira. It says there, b'shloishim ushtayim nesivois plios chachma, with 32 paths of wondrous knowledge, chokak yizborach esoylomoy, kaviyochel, Hashem carved out his world, b'shloisha sforim, with 3 books, with 3 sefers. And it says there, b'sefer, v'soifer, v'sipur. Shehein sholosh b'chinos hanal. These correspond to the 3 components we discussed earlier. Shekol b'china klula mikulam, where each one of the 3 is really a composite of all three. V'alkein kol b'china mehem nikra sefer. And that's why each one of them is called sefer. Even though a sefer means a book that has parchment, ink, and was written with a pen, we see here that the Sefer Yetzirah uses the word sefer about each one of the 3. V'zeh, and this is why it says there, b'sefer, v'soifer, v'sipur. And now Rav Nosson Zal explains. Ki sefer, v'soifer, because the word sefer, which means book, and the word soifer, which means a scribe, ze bechinas haklaf vahadyoi, that corresponds to the actual paper, the parchment, and the ink. Shekol echod hu ikar hasefer, where each one of those 2 is the main component of a book. A book is a combination of 2 things, the paper it's being written on, and the ink that it's being written with. The sipur, and the term sipur that's used over there, sipur means a story, the story or to tell, hu bechinas hakulmus. That's the pen, hametzayer hadyoy ala sefer, which formats the ink onto the parchment, vehu nikra sipur. And then it's called a story, a revelation, a telling. You know, a book tells you something. The telling is the pen, is what formats the ink onto the parchment into something, into shapes and forms that tell a story. Kimiguf, watch how Rav Nelson Zal explains this now. Kimiguf hakulmus loinishar klumba sefer. Because from the actual pen itself, no part of the pen is in the book. Nothing of the pen itself is in the book. Ki ein nishar b'hasefer kim haklaf vadyoy. Because the book, after it's written, is only comprised of two things, the parchment and the ink. V'alkein kol echod mehem nikra b'shem sefer. And that's why each one of them is called, each one of those two, the parchment and the ink, are referred to as sefer. Bechinas sefer v'soifer. The parchment itself, the book itself, which is called sefer, and soifer is the ink. The scribe, the writing, the sefer means the writing, is the ink. Avol mehakulmus einishar boi klumba sefer. But from the actual pen itself, no part of the pen remains attached to the book. Avol kol ikra sefer loy nasav etzayir kim al yedei kulmus. And yet, the whole essence of the book is only in existence because you had a pen. You can take gallons and gallons of ink and the most beautiful parchment in the world and try to spill the ink on the parchment. Without a pen, you ain't going to have no story. You ain't going to have no writing. Ki hakulmus hu bechinas haloshoin v'hadibur. Because as we said before, the pen is like the tongue or the words. Bechinas leshoini eit sofer moher. As the pasuk says, my pen is a quick writing scribe. I'm sorry, my tongue is a quick writing pen. Ki ikar hasipur, masha hasefer mesaper gdulosig vrosis borach, hualidea kulmus. Because the story that's being told, whereby this book tells a story, it tells of the greatness of Hashem, that was only able to be accomplished by the pen. Shehu hametzayer v'choike ko'oisiois b'dyoy alaklav, which is what shapes and forms the ink into letters on that parchment, which tell a story. V'hu b'chinas haloshoin, just like the tongue, which is kulmus halev, which is the pen of the heart. When a person has thoughts and feelings in their heart, it's there, but nobody knows about it. Nobody knows what you're thinking, what you're feeling, and anything, until you verbalize it, until you put it into words. When the tongue expresses what's in the heart, then suddenly those feelings and everything are revealed. Ki afilu kishenitztayer v'nase v'nigmar ha-sefer. Oh, so now Rav Nosson Zal explains why the third item that was mentioned in the Sefer Yetzirah was the sipur, the story. There was the sefer, the book, the sofer, the scribe, and then there was the sipur, the story itself. Because Rav Nosson Zal tells us now, because even after a book is formatted, you have the parchment, you have the ink, and the book is written. Im chas v'sholom ein loimdem boy, if nobody studies the book, if nobody reads the book, ein boy toyeles. It does not yet serve any purpose. It doesn't accomplish anything. V'harehu kegoylam chas v'shon. It's like a plain piece of wood that has not yet been shaped or formatted. And it's not usable yet. Until the book itself, until somebody goes out and actually reads it or tells the story, tells it over to somebody else, the book hasn't achieved anything yet. V'ikr shleimus ha-sefer, hu kishekoyrim v'loimdim boy. And therefore, when is a book considered finished, completed? Wow, I finished writing it. Not finished yet, nothing. Big deal, you wrote it. You got to publish it. You got to take it to a, number one, you got to edit it, take it to a printer, take it to a publisher, produce the copies. Now you got all those copies and you have it in boxes. I finished my book. You didn't finish nothing yet. The book isn't finished because, again, what what you write it for? That it should be in, it should sit in the boxes? You wrote the box, the book, that it should reach people, that that story, people should read that story and be and experience it, you know, get whatever they're supposed to get out of that story. That's not completed until the story is actually told. V'ho'ikarhu l'lamed u'lahashmi'a l'rabim. And again, the main purpose of a sefer, a holy book, a book of Torah, is that it be taught and shared with many people. Shebishvil ze nivro ho'ilam. That's why Hashem created the world. Kedei lohoidia u'lesaper kvoidoi v'godlo yisboro. In order to inform people and make them aware of and tell them about Hashem's glory, Hashem's greatness. Ki hakoil boro lechvoidoi. Because everything in the world was created for Hashem's honor. U'komei shekosov, as it says in Tehillim, sichu bechol nifloisov. Speak about all of his wonders. That's one of our main missions in life, in this world, to share with the world, to enlighten and inform the Jews that need enlightening, and even the other nations, about the greatness of Hashem. V'chein harben, we find this in many other psukim. So therefore, v'yoz, kishaloim demesat Torah barabim, so therefore, after the Sefer Torah has been written, and it's being studied publicly, oz ikar shleimus ha-sefer. That's when the book is complete. That's when it's really complete. Ki choizrim v'loikhim oisis ha-sefer bedaitoi. Because now, these letters and words that are written in that book are being transferred into the brain and into the heart of each and every person that's reading that book. Umoidim umesaprim oisam lahashoimim, and the book is telling what it needs to tell and informing those who are listening. Venechkokim belipom, and it's being engraved and inscribed in their hearts. Al yidei haloshoim, through the tongue that's reciting the words. Shehu kulmus, the tongue is the pen. Venechtovim al luach libom. And the words now are being inscribed on the tablets of their hearts. That's what that's how the Torah refers to a person's heart, like the luchos, like the tablets on which the words, the letters of the Torah were inscribed. V'nas bechinas sefer, and then you have a complete sefer, shekolul mishloisha sforim, which is comprised of the three components. Again, the parchment, the ink, and the story that's being told. When the pen which turned it into a story that's being broadcasted. Ukemayshekosu b'mokom acher b'hatoyra posach Rabbi Shimon, as we find Rabbeinu Zal discusses this in another chapter on Likutei Moran, chapter 60, in the first half of Likutei Moran, Posach Rabbi Shimon. V'sehu, and this is what the Posach says, Oz nidberu yirei Hashem ishal reyehu. Then, those who respect Hashem got together and they spoke about Hashem to each other, two friends. Vayakshev Hashem vayishmo. And Hashem listened in to what they were saying. And Hashem heard them. Vayikosev sefer. And a book was written from their discussion. Again, this is the main purpose of all books that are being written. To tell about Hashem. Interesting. We know one of Rabbeinu Zal's greatest revelations was the Sipurei Maisius, the special stories that he told towards the end of his life when he told his students, I've used all my artillery that I have till now on you, and you're still not really where I want you to be. Time to bring out the heavy, heavy artillery. It's time to start telling stories. And he revealed he told 13 fantastic stories at that time, which are inscribed in this book, Sipurei Maaseiot. The first story begins, the opening line in the first story is, Baderech Siparti Maisa, while I was traveling, I told a story which everyone who heard it had a hirhur tshuva. Everyone who heard it had feelings and thoughts and yearnings for repentance. And this is the story. That's the opening shot of the Sefer Sipurei Maaseiot. And the Breslerers in Uman used to say that Rabbeinu Zal is introducing all stories telling of the world. That whenever people are going to tell a story, whenever people are going to talk, in general, people are talking, they're telling a story. They have to ask themselves a question. Is this story going to lead to people thinking about Hashem, to a hero tshuva? Then it's a story that needs to be told. If not, what kind of story? It's not a story, it's nonsense. It's shtuyot, it's meaningless, it's nothing. So here we see again that the true definition of a sefer or a sipur is something that tells about Hashem, something that glorifies Hashem, because that was the whole purpose of creation. And the highest level in creation is man, who is called medaber. Man speaks. What is man? What is the epitome of man? The ability to speak intelligently. What's called intelligent speech? Speech that's relevant to Hashem. Speech that has to do with Hashem. If it has nothing to do with Hashem, what's the relevance? What purpose is there? It's meaning, it's idle talk, it's nonsense. V'alkein, and therefore, kol davar sheba'olam nivra b'sholosh b'chinos, and therefore, everything in existence was created from three components, b'sholosh b'chinos, from these three components, shehem sholosh sforim anal, which are these three books that we mentioned, the three components of the book. K'mo shekosu b'mishnah anal, as it says in that first Mishnah of the Sefer Yetzirah that we quoted earlier. Hainu ki kol tovar sheboilom nivra lechvoidoi. And again, this is based on the fact that everything in the world was created for Hashem's honor, for Hashem's glory. Ki b'chol tovar sheboilom yecholim lirois gevurois Hashem v'nifloisa v'nairoisa. Because in everything in this world, a person can see the greatness of Hashem, the wonders of Hashem. Ulesaper ulahagdil kvoidoi, and to speak about and glorify Hashem, al yedei zeh, through that item. A person goes on vacation, they go to the Swiss Alps, they're looking at the snow. Wow, that's so beautiful. Look at the texture of those mountains, look at the texture of the snow. And there are people who can talk for an hour and say nothing. All of their talk added up to a complete zero. And then you get another person, a normal human being, an intelligent human being, who says, wow, look at Hashem. Look at that display of Hashem's. Look how beautiful that is. Look what Hashem created. It's just incredible. You travel anywhere in the world, you see new revelations of Hashem that you don't see in another place. You go to another place, you see fish, gorgeous fish with different colors that you never imagined that anything like that exists. And again, one person can expound on the exquisiteness and another person can just add one little ingredient to the whole thing that makes it meaningful. Look at these gorgeous fish that Hashem created, each one different from the other. Look how great Hashem is. We can't fathom the greatness of Hashem. You just look at these couple of thousand fish and how each one of them is different from the other, and you get an idea of what we're dealing with, who we're dealing with. Shebishvil zeh nivra zeh hadavar. And that's why this thing was created. When we talk about everything in existence, the whole purpose of creation was the honor of Hashem, and every individual piece, every individual item in the world was created for that purpose, so that we human beings, by connecting with that item, will come to recognition of Hashem. V'al kein, and therefore, kol dovar sheboilam kol misholosh pchinas hanal. Everything in existence is comprised of the three components we mentioned earlier, shehem bechina shloisha sfarim, which are the three sfarim, shehem sefer, v'sofer, v'sipur, ki b'chol dovar sheboilam nichto v'nechka gdulosi yisporach. Gdulosi grosi yisporach. Kemoi bas sefer mamish. Because in every single thing in the world is inscribed and is written the greatness and the glory of Hashem, just like in a Shulchan Aruch, just like in a Gemara, just like a Gemara, a Shulchan Aruch, a Chumash is an expression of the greatness of Hashem, so too everything in existence, this beautiful cloth, this cup of coffee, is a display, it's an expression of the greatness of Hashem. Achoiker toloi behodam. However, in order for all of this to take place, it's dependent on man, human beings. Sheyosim liboy la'ayin ulahabit bozeh, that a human being should be prepared to pay attention to this, to look at this, and to take note of this. Ulesaper kvoidoy ugdulosoy, and to speak about the greatness of Hashem. Shemavin mikol habruim, which the person comes to understand from relating to everything in creation. Lesaper lechol boy oilam, and to share this with everybody in the world. A person gets on a plane, an airplane today. A person sits down on the airplane and they adjust the air conditioning and they adjust the seatbelt and they push the button for which programs they want to see. And a person could be doing all of that and it could all be meaningless, empty, nothing major being achieved by everything you're doing. And a person just adds one drop to the equation and says, wow, look how far Hashem has taken us. Look at where we are, that just in the past 100 years, Hashem has given people the ability, the knowledge, and the materials from which to put together this thing, this bird, this plane, that can carry hundreds of tons, that weighs hundreds of tons with baggage, with people, and all kinds of things. And it has the ability to go from one part of the world to the other, ways that 1,000 years ago, the Rambam, who lived approximately 1,000 years ago, wrote in the introduction to the Shemoneh Prakim that there are certain things that are complete fantasy, total fantasy. There's nothing, no association with reality. One of them, he said, is a ship flying through the air. That's something that's complete fantasy, dreamland, imagination. Look where we are. Hashem has taken what people 1,000 years ago perceived as a complete impossibility, you know, something for kids, you know, and turned it into reality, and further and further, billions of levels, that this has taken further and further, which if a person uses this to arouse and increase their recognition of Hashem, then the plane has served its purpose. Then it's serving its purpose for which it was created, for which Hashem revealed this knowledge, this technology. If a person just uses it to go on vacation and to eat more spaghetti and more latkes and get more indigestion and get fatter so they can go to the doctor and figure out how to lose that weight, all this good weight that the plane took them to these wonderful places where they can gain all of that weight, and now they have to go to the doctor and spend a couple of $1,000 to try to get rid of it. What comes in? The net, we add all of that up, it adds up to a zero, one big zero, if chas v'shalom a person leaves Hashem out of the equation. Ki chen gam b'hasefer, because so too regarding a book, a Sefer Torah or any other book, ikar shlemus, the main completion, when is a book complete? Kishelomdim umevinim boy, when people are studying the book, when the story is being told, just the fact that the story was put into a book, you didn't do anything, you didn't accomplish anything yet. When the story is being told, when people take that book and they read it and they study it, ומספרים ומלמדים עושה לאחרים, and they share it with others, that's when the book is fulfilling its purpose. Paragraph Ches, now Rav Nosson Zal goes back to the topic of Yehuda and how the first example of a guarantor in the Torah is when Yehuda told his father, I will guarantee you're afraid to send Binyamin down to Egypt because he's your baby and the youngest son and is the only son that remains from his mother. V'zeh Shomar Yehuda, this is why Yehuda said, Anoichi e'ervenu. I will guarantee his safety, v'chulu, etc. And then when Yehuda spoke to Yosef, he didn't know it was Yosef HaTzadik. He thought it was the viceroy of Egypt. And Yosef said, no, just leave him here. You guys can go back home. The rest of the brother, the one in whose bag was found my goblet, he'll stay here. He remains here, prisoner for life. Binyamin, the rest of you can go home. Yehuda said to him, hey, buddy, I got a message for you and your king. I'm going to put both of you into chocolate pudding if you don't hear what I'm saying. And this is when he said, Ki avdecho ora vesanar, because your servant guaranteed this little boy. I told my daddy that I'm guaranteeing his safety and his returning back home safely. Ki Yehuda, shehu bechinas Moshiach, who ikir ha'orev, because Yehuda, who is the one from whom Moshiach will come from, he is the real legitimate guarantor for the entire Jewish people. V'zeh shenismach parshas Yehuda v'tomor leparshas mechiras Yosef. And this will also explain why these two stories are written right next to each other in the Torah. The story about the brothers selling their Yosef HaTzadik as a slave to Egypt, and the story about Yehuda going down, moving away from his brothers, meeting different people, marrying a woman, they have two kids, the two kids die, the third child is young, not ready to do Yibum, and then Yehuda goes and approaches his daughter-in-law, and the whole connection between them. Ki hashvotim shemochru es Yosef, because the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik, when they sold him into slavery, Boze pogmu bechinas pegama bris. This was considered a major desecration of the bris, of the covenant. Ki Yosef HaTzadik hu bechinas bris, kayadua. Because according to Kabbalah, Yosef HaTzadik is the bris kodesh. We know that the different parts of the body correspond to the different midos of Hashem, the different spheros. Chesed is the right hand, Gevura is the left hand, Tiferes is the trunk of the body, Netzach is the upper leg, the upper right leg, Hoid is the upper left leg, Yesoid is the bris kodesh. Yesoid, it's called bris. It's the sixth one of these seven spheros. Yosef, Yudvav Samach Pei, is 156, which is Bigmatria six times Yudke Vavke. Yosef represents Yesoid, this mid of Yesoid, which is called Bris. And therefore his outstanding, the major test that he had in life was the test with Potiphar's wife to show his purity, his level of purity in Tikkun HaBris. So by going against Yosef, by trying to harm Yosef, the brothers desecrated the Bris. That was considered an act of Pegama Bris. Vehem machruhu leMitzrayim, and they sold him to Egypt. Al kein pogmu babris. Therefore, this was considered an act of pegama bris. Shehechnisu hatzadik bechinas bris leMitzrayim. They took the tzadik, who is the bris, and put it into tum, into filth, into Egypt, into non-Jews, into the filth of the world. V'alkein oz bo'esahi v'yered Yehuda me'esechov. And exactly while that was going on is when Yehuda left his brothers and the whole story with Yehuda and Tamar, which would eventually result in the birth of Moshiach. Shal yedei zeh nimshach v'noilad Moshiach. ki oz nisoire ruchoi shel Moshiach shemekani al pegam abris. Because Rabbi Nazal tells us in chapter 32 in Likud Imran, which this halach is based on, that when there is pegam abris, then there is this vengeful spirit of Moshiach that gets turned on. Which avenges the pegam abris. And this is why these two stories are written right next to each other. As our rabbis in the Medrash tell us, in the Medrash Rabbah of Parshas Vayeshev, She'omar Hashem Yisborach, Hashem who was watching all of these events and controlling all of these events, Hashem said, Atem Oiskim Limkor Satzadik, you guys are involved in selling the tzaddik down the river. You brothers of Yosef Tzaddik are involved in selling him, putting him into the mud, into the filth, selling him down to Egypt. And while you're doing that, I'm involved in bringing the soul of Moshiach into the world. This is what the Medrash says. Hainu kanal. This is exactly as we mentioned earlier. Ki mechiras Yosef hu bechinas pegam abris. The act of selling Yosef into slavery, into Egypt, was an act of pegam abris. Just like a Jew taking his yesoid and putting it into a non-Jewish woman. And therefore, while that desecration of the bris was taken care of on one end of the world, Hashem was involved on the other end of the world into bringing the soul of Moshiach into the world, Shehu HaTikun Lazeh, because Moshiach will be the epitome of Tikun HaBris. V'alkein, as Rabbi Nazal says in the beginning of chapter 2 on Likud Imran, where he says that Moshiach will wage war, will win all of his battles through prayer, and the success of his prayer is going to be based on his high level of Tikun HaBris. V'alkein nismach acharkach parshas v'yosev hurad mitzrayma. And that's why right after that, the Torah again speaks about Yosef HaTzadik was shipped down to Egypt, and then he was in the home of the Sara Tabochim, and then the wife took a liking to him, and that whole story. Sheshom mevoyer hanisoyin shel Yosef HaTzadik. That's where the Torah tells the story of the major test that Yosef HaTzadik had. Ki Yosef zocho lahamshech al atzmoi bechinas ruchoi shel Moshiach. Because Yosef HaTzadik was zoche to draw upon himself the Holy Spirit of Moshiach, uleshomroi hetev, and to guard that Holy Spirit, to keep it pure, to keep it intact, not to defile it in any way. And that's what gave him the ability to withstand the test, the seduction of Potiphar's wife. Ki ikr shmiras habris, because for a Jew to be able to withstand the tests of purity, the tests of Tikun HaBris, he needs the power, the energy that comes from the spirit of Moshiach. And Yosef HaTzadik was able to draw that upon himself. Now in the next paragraph, paragraph tests, Rav Nosson Zal is going to go back and tie this all into the laws of Orev, that when a Jew wants to guarantee a monetary transaction on somebody else's behalf, the Shulchan Aruch defines exactly how that works. And when it works, when it doesn't work, Rav Nosson Zal is going to tie all of this together now, what we were learning about Yehuda and Tomer, what we were learning about in the chapter on the Likutei Moharan, he's going to tie it all back to that topic of arvus, co-signing, guaranteeing a financial transaction. We'll continue this in the next year.